On the hit list tonight, we are joined by a legend, and I mean a proper legend. He's back with a brand new song. We're going to be chatting about that. But first, let's introduce you to Craig David. How are you doing, my man?
Very good, thank you, brother. How are you?
I'm all good. And I think we've got a nice little setup here. But your setup, mate, is something else. Where are you today?
Do you know what? I'm in my home studio at the moment, but it's because I've seen these lovely setups like you've got behind you, that when I was doing some of the Zoom calls like a few years back, I was like, I need to step up my game. I can't have it looking all mashed up over here. So yeah, so I've got a couple like sort of palm tree moldies kind of looking like pictures behind me. Some sort of fish tank thing going on over here, little vibes, and yeah, making some tunes.
I was going to say, that's not a real fish tank, is it? Because I was about to ask what the fish was called, and then I've just realised it's not real.
That's what I'm saying. You never know. Could be Nemo, could be anything going on. There's like a lot of things going on around here.
If you had to give that goldfish a name.
Maybe I think it would own Nemo. I think Nemo is like, do you know what I mean? Nemo had a good time. But the great thing is that you don't need to actually like, you know, you can change it. It can be a fireplace if you need to go to. I like that. It's back to what you've got behind. You can always flip it.
Exactly.
Keep people on their toes.
Exactly. And as you've got on your top there as well, good vibes. I mean, totally, your studio has given me good vibes as well. You've got the pizza, the Maldives. With the way that this week has started, it's been a bit, ugh. So at least you can put yourself into a happy place in that studio, right?
Exactly that. Studios tend to always sort of be my happy place because I know there's music and some sort of something will, at the start of the day, there'll be something at the end of the day that didn't exist, which I love. But yeah, I feel like when you've got a home little space, or just being at home, make it your happy place. Like when you come through the door after a long day and you're just like, yeah, you can breathe, right? And keep it as warm as you can. It could be freezing in here, but when you've got palm trees behind you and a bit of sand, it looks like it's hot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, we're in October and already I feel like I'm on a beach in the Bahamas because my wife's decided to put the heating on. The amount of times I've said no, not yet, and it's still going on. We've got to dry the washing because it can't go outside anymore. It doesn't matter. Wow. Turn that heating off.
But when you walk through the door the first time, it's toasty, right? It's nice, right?
It's lovely, isn't it? It's so good, yeah. Go. Yeah, I want to thank her and not thank her at the same time. But look, talking about your happy place, Craig, you're back with a new song in your hands. I know how much you love music. It just comes across in everything you do, every interview, whenever you're online. So the one question that I've got to kick this off is, it's been a few years since you've released something that's your own. What have you been doing over that couple of years? Why has it taken so long to come back with a new hit?
Firstly, thank you for playing the song so much, which is like you've just been playing it. Like so many people, I know, listen to KMF members, like they play the tune. So firstly, thank you, because it's appreciated, genuinely. But I always feel like also what I've learned over the years, like, I mean, the first album was like in 2000, so there's like 24 years of tunes, which is like unbelievable to me, is that I've realized that actually the time when you have small gaps in it, which aren't really gaps because life is still always like happening. I'm always writing songs or I'm being creative in different ways. But it may be on the outside seem like you haven't got new music out there. I always liken it to like being like the spaces between notes in a chord or the spaces between words in a song. Like you need to have those spaces to appreciate the next melody. You need to appreciate the space between the notes. And I've now seen that actually, even though it feels like you're pulling back a bit, actually it's when you come back and you land something like the new single in your hands, it feels like, ah, now we're ready for something new, as opposed to always constantly just bang, 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 which some people say that's a look too, but I feel like years have told me otherwise, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And with a song like In Your Hands, clearly you've been playing around with that concept and idea for quite a while, because it's one of those, isn't it, where you listen to it and it's like, do you know what? I do really like this, but I know that. Like, this is very different to what this should be. You're using the primary school banger, the assembly hymn, so to speak, I used to sing in assembly when I was back in Folkestone at Park Farm Primary School. We used to do all of that during our assemblies. So how long had you been playing around with that idea of using that sample or using that on the chorus?
So, I mean, I originally wrote the song about a year or so ago, like before that chorus was there, had a different melody for a chorus in it, and I loved the song. But it was something about, we went back in, I revisited the tune, and I walked out of the studio having listened to it, saying, yeah, I love it, we're good to go. And then I just got this crazy download, very divinely, of, you got the home in your head, you got... And I looked at the producer, Mike, who had been doing the track with me, and he looked at me and I was like, I got to get better, turn that mic back on, let me go, I need to just cut this vocal quick. And we were just on the phone all over the weekend, just being like, it's a no-brainer. Like almost like to give context to something that means so much to so many people, as you just said, like knowing it as a primary school hymn, that if I could give it context to give what that really I'm trying to say in the song and land it with the beat and the new melodies and the whistles, we're onto something here. So when I see people like, oh my God, like I remember this when I was like, we're already in your feels right now.
Yeah,
I just need to land it. So I'm just so happy that people have been feeling it. It's the gift that keeps giving.
Now, you are a bit of a trendsetter, but do you think you started another one here? Could you see the likes of Becky Hill be jumping on like Oil in My Lamp next or something like that? Do you think this could be the start?
You know what? Becky Hill could actually smash anything. That, with that vote note on the reel, being in the studio with Becky, I've got so much time and love for her. When you hear her vocal, like you, as you know, we all know her songs,
yeah.
But when you hear her in the studio or sing live, she could absolutely smash anything. And she'd flip it in a way that you wouldn't know it was really that. It would have a new verse, new sort of something underneath it. And you're like, oh my God, is this the new anthem for like 2025?
It's interesting you say that because you and Becky Hill share something in common that we're going to talk about in a minute, and that's playing Dreamland Margate this year over the summer. And I went to see Becky at that show, and I think it's always difficult when you go and watch someone who creates dance music like Becky Hill does when it's on a track and it's, you know, it's obviously nice and polished. She performed a new song with Andy C, Indestructible, which I think should be impossible to sing live, and she killed it. She killed, like, those high notes. She's just insane. And she's just one of many artists out there right now. Someone else that I know that you're a fan of, and I know this because you've just jumped on her Lately remix, is Georgia Smith. How did that come about as well, that little collab that you've just released there?
Well, I mean, Georgia reached out and she was saying that she was looking at like remixing her song Lately, that she had an album. And I was like, well, I've always wanted to actually get in the studio with you, which is like just the timing of it. Because I was speaking about Georgia that same week. So I think there's a lot of divine things happening. And then she reaches out, got the song Lately. What do you think about reworking it with me? I was like, I'd love to. We jumped in the studio a week or so later. And I was just, again, I'm always in awe of people when I'm in the studio because I really get to know who they are, pun the pun, but also kind of know like that they're really about this life. And Georgia's so, she lives music through and through vocally. That's the same as being in the studio with Becky and seeing her when she sings, as you said, live, lands it. And to see that true through and through R&B song like Lately with a new verse and people just getting vibes off that, just dropping out of nowhere, like, ooh, that little something come from. Love it. So much love for Georgia. She's great.
It sounds amazing. And I know that you are a pioneer of so much here in UK music. Obviously, the UKG scene is something that's very special to you. I know also, you know, club music, dance music as well. But you also have collaborated with a load of artists that maybe when you first sort of came across them weren't as big as they are today. Are there any artists at the moment on your radar that you're loving and UK talent in general is in a good place, right?
Yeah, I mean, it started way back with working with Sting. I feel like that moment changed my life because for the legend of Sting to actually even see me anywhere on the radar, to actually to allow me to use Shape of My Heart and do a song with him, and for him to be on the song and be in the video, it set the tone of I always wanted to be in a position where I could bring that to someone else when I was coming through. So having worked with Nipper, which was fantastic in the UK, Ella May, who then went over to America, had huge success there. Money Long, who's up for so many Grammys at the moment, who having a song called Obvious, that's on my last album. But you know what? I like the kind of slightly juxtaposition ones. I'd love like to work with Billie Eilish, do you know what I mean? Or Haim, and just be like doing something that's just like, let's vibe, like let's take it here where, like when I did Bastille, I Know You, that for me, just people weren't ready, where they weren't sure, whoa, we didn't expect that one to come, but it landed in this beautiful pocket. So I'd love that kind of collaboration, it'd be great.
Do you know what the world weren't ready for? And I think that's why it didn't happen. And that is a Craig David, Charlie XCX, Brat remix. I just think the world weren't ready for it because I think that would have just killed it. I mean, how good has this summer been from Charlie XCX? Again, you know, another artist that has just blown up this summer. But, oh my goodness, tune after tune on that album.
No. Do you know what? Absolutely respect what's due because She speaks her truth, she wears a heart on her sleeve, and she allows the same to come through with her songs all the time. It's like she just, I'm about this, like, and I'm not going to shy away from it. And as you said, the album just big, and it was about Brat Summer, right? Everyone was just on it. They were like, oh yeah, Charlie, yes. So I'd love to actually, again, it's those juxtaposition sorts of ones where you're like, I didn't see that coming. So yeah, that was another one to put on the list of people that would be cool to collaborate with.
The biggest artists.
This
is The Hit List. KMFM.
This is The Hit List. KMFM.
Well, let's bring it back to you. We've just spoken about Charlie XCX's album there. Surely with In Your Hands, we're starting the journey and the pathway towards another Craig David album. Where are we going from here, Craig?
Yeah, man. We're pretty good to go. Like, I always feel like we're in the studio set up right here. I mean, I could literally press play on a collection of songs for me that feel like we've got the album ready to go.
Don't tease me always, like that. You're teasing me. What's
just saying this. It happens like that. It's funny how many songs we have to sit on for as artists for such a while. And then when you get to actually release, you find that you've written four other songs that then trump something else. And then you kind of like, it throws a spanner in the works, but a good one. But yeah, the album's going to be called Commitment. That's going to be dropping top end of 2025. Which is linked into the arena tour that's also coming in 2025. But this album, I don't know which is born to do it as like kind of like the staple place to go for my albums. But I just feel like I'm in that playful place like that where I'm not sweating it. I'm just like, there's tunes on there. I like remember where I put the headphones on when I was listening to Rewind coming back from the studio. No one had ever heard it on my Sony Walkman. The little yellow one without the bass boost button, like, and I was like, "This is a tune," and I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I'm getting that moment with a lot of the chant songs from this album. I'm like, "This is a tune." I don't know what about anything else, but this is hot. So, I'm excited.
I'm looking at producer Liam now because he's in the interview where I go really music journalist investigator. And seeing as we're getting on so well, I will ask a question. Can you give me anything on the next single, Craig? Come on, give us a KMFM little bite-sized snippet as to what is actually coming next.
I like the way you're thinking. Okay, cool. So there's two options that could be running here. Right. That are in the running.
Right.
One of them definitely leans more into my R&B bag, but kind of with a slight Afrobeat kind of flex going on there, which once you hear it, easy, the guitars on it. Oh my gosh. You know, you like the 7 Days guitars, but the guitars are correct. So we got that on that side.
Okay.
Then on the other side, I've got, if you liked Nothing Like This with Blonde or Ain't Giving Up with Sigala, I got one of them ones.
Bit of a floor.
You know, one of them ones where it's like, I know the USP for this now. I know what it needs to do. Like Becky Hill knows what it's got to do. We got the thing to make you let you know what it needs to do.
I can see how excited you are about both of them. So I can see the dilemma you're in.
Oh, God.
Which direction? Do you know what? I love the sound of that, like slightly R&B Afrobeat sound. I just
wicked.
There's something about that at the moment that I think is just ticking so many boxes. And I think in terms of where we're going culturally with music, I think there's just so much more love and respect out there for those genres now. And I think it's because of artists like you, you know, bringing it to the top 40, bringing it to the radio stations with your seal of approval that are just helping these artists climb that ladder. I mean, you look at Coldplay, We Pray, and the artists they've managed to get on there. And I think it's just working at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. You're so right. Because I mean, your man knows, you know your music inside out. You know what's kind of, you know the pockets, you know where something originally started from. Even like Afrobeat, if I think back and you think of, I don't know, Murder, She Wrote, and Sean Paul, like early doors when he was coming out with those tunes, it's kind of, it's dancehall. It's reggae music. But now it's got the new drums, the production's flipped, and then it's coming from a completely different place, you know, coming out of like Nigeria, and you've got it coming out of Ghana, and it's just like, it's hitting differently. So I feel very affiliated with that. My dad used to always like play reggae music when I was growing up. So I'm like, oh, my, I'll come at a different position if I was to do an Afrobeat tune. That's what I'm saying. The guitars on it, it has to have the thing.
Can't wait to hear it.
It's fine.
Hopefully we won't be far away from that. But before you go, Craig, I just want to just chat to you about a couple more things tonight. So first things first, we mentioned earlier on about you coming to Dreamland this year. You played in Margate. You brought your TS5 show to the Scenic Stage. Can you remember anything about your time in Margate at all? How was your experience at Dreamland? Because I know you play so many shows this summer. It's probably difficult to keep track of them all.
Do you know what I've got to say? And I promise I'm not just gassing this up, but Dreamland is one of my favorite shows to perform at. Like, I just love it. It's the way in which the stage is set up and the way it banks up, and you just the crowd. It's like it feels like you're at sort of a fun fair. Literally, because there is like roller coaster rides and bits and bobs going behind, but you feel that way. So you walk on stage, it's like, and I remember the first time I did it, was like the same feeling. And I always like was saying, oh, please, I need to come and do the show again. So when I got booked to come and do it again, like this year, I was like, oh my God. So firstly, you got me in the bag. You won me at Hello. So leading from that is then going on and saying like, the crowd are so up for it. They're so up for it and so appreciative of what's going on. That's why you can have these amazing series that go on, and you can have like it becoming really one of the most poignant like festivals in the year for me. I just love it. So yeah, you've got this kid in me just like wants to go Dreamland.
Well,
let's go Dreamland.
Next time you're down this way, let's share a go on the scenic railway or one of the roller coasters there, because they're all good fun to go on as well. And maybe go spend a bit of money in the arcade. The arcade's always my place to go. Forget the roller coasters. I love a little bit of arcade fun. Of course, coming off the back of the TS5 shows this summer, your commitment tour starting next year. Give me the lowdown. What do you have planned? Because you're going to be playing, the closest venue to us is the O2 in London, Thursday the 20th. And I think that this is going to be one of your, let's call it, not most memorable, but I think these shows are going to be close to your heart because these are part of the 25-year celebrations, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, my man. Like, it's going to be so exciting. I mean, playing like arenas up and down the country is an honor in of itself anyway, but to have the TS5 element of the show, which I want to really integrate into the full band. So it feels like I'm mixing the band. I think that's something that is going to be very new for me, to be able to go out of a song into acoustic and then have some BVs and vocals going on, then come back into a mix in another track that I've got on my set, and then get some bass, just bass, rewind bass by itself. With 7 days and the new tunes and In Your Hands. And it's just going to be just a celebration, as you said, man. It's going to be really, really cool. And I feel like the 25 years of putting songs out is just making it hard for me to see what I'm going to include and what I'm not going to be able to make. You know, it's just like, wow.
It must be like the longest set list to man. And you must be thinking, well, Taylor Swift done 3.5 hours. I can do 9, like, with that set list.
Set the tone, right? I mean, you look at the Rolling Stones, yeah? I mean, them guys are like on stage like 3.5, 4 hours. They're like, yo, come on, my man. Like, setting the tone. So where there's a will, there's a way. So yeah, I've got a lot of songs. I'm going to definitely make sure that all the hits that people want to hear is on there. But at the same time, introduce some new tunes along the way. And you won't be waiting too long for the new tunes I told you about. Like, I think it's a lot sooner than you may think, to be honest.
Oh, there we go. That's a nice little hint. There we go. We're dropping bombshells. Well, look, Craig, Pop Anthems for us is all about taking a trip down nostalgia, reliving things from either your like teenagehood, back at your school days, or even just those eras that you've got memories that music help associate those memories to. That's what we do on Pop Anthems. It's a trip down memory lane. So I want to see how much you can remember from 25 years ago. Of course, the year Born to Do It was released in 2000. You had 7 days, Rendezvous. It's all turning 25 years old for you next year. So I have come up with a game I've called You Know What Was In The Charts. Of course, loosely named after track 11 on Born to Do It, You Know What. Okay, so that's what we're doing. Let's start with the 30th of July, 2000. 7 days went to number one, but can you name three other artists who shared the top 10 with you?
Ooh, have hit me like that. I'm going to hit you with Destiny's Child.
Yes. That's one.
Robbie Williams.
Robbie was not in the charts.
Oh, Robbie, where are you, man? You need to be there. Okay. So Eminem was owning stuff. So we got Eminem with 8 Mile.
Eminem.
Well, that movie was doing its thing. He was number one with the album and the single at that time, wasn't he? His movie was number one, sorry, and the album.
The Real Sim Shady was number five when you were number one. So there you go. Wow. So you've got Eminem, you've got Destiny's Child, you've got your final guest. Come on, can you put it out of the bag?
Everyone's screaming through the radio right now. They're screaming.
Hey, you. I can't fight it. No, I'm singing to Craig David
Ronan
now.
Ronan Keating.
Yes, there we go.
Sorry, Ronan it took Keating. A moment. It just was, I was in some now.
But I also wanted to share these with you because I know that, actually, these hidden gems. So I'm going to play this. So remember this? Louise Redknapp and Two Faced was number 8 in the charts when you were topping it. And you will remember this for sure. Number 2, Craig David, when you were number 1 on the 30th of July 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Boom Funk MCs and Freestyler. That was number 2 when you were number 1. That was massive.
Do you know what? There's some unbelievable stuff going on here.
The 20th of August 2000, question number two. Your album Born to Do It went to number one in the albums chart. Yeah. But can you tell me two artists that shared the top five with you?
I'm tuning in now. I reckon that Eminem, because we talked about that, it's a bit of an obvious one, right? I already told
Eminem's
you
got on,
one
yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Right?
Marshall so, Mathers okay, LP, that. The original, was number one. Of course, he's just released Marshall Mathers 2 as well.
That would just be mad. Like, I've already said it, and then to not even use it is okay. Yeah. Then I would go with, I got a feeling, I don't know, but something like Whitney Houston was in there. Whitney
Craig
Houston.
David, with Whitney Houston, the greatest hits at number five. You have got two in that album chart, yeah. Number two, nice. Ronan Keating was number two in the album chart when you were number one, which begs the question, did you and Ronan have any like chart battles at the time? Was there like, you know, beef going on between you two?
No, it was all love. That was just big hugs. Me and Ronan, big hugs. What a guy. Okay. Like, just super love. But wow, I didn't know he was number two at the time that Born to Do It came out. Just like, wow. What a time, man. Look at this thing, how eclectic that even just the top five. Yeah. I mean, just that mix is just like wild. Wow.
Now, I've gone really difficult for the final one. I'm sorry about this. So, 30th of June 2001, Fill Me In entered the Billboard Hot 100 in the States. Now, it was at number 28 at the time, but it climbed massively up the charts from there. But can you name me one song that was in the top five? And I am going to give you a very good clue here.
Hear me.
Plasters.
Ooh, I want to go here because it would be like, it's getting hot in here, so take, but I don't want to say anything because that's the only Plasters that I know around here.
You're noticing my facial expressions and then going, oh, wait a second.
Okay, I'm gonna go with it. I'm saying Nelly. If you're doing Plasters, I'm going Nelly and...
What song?
It's the one where they're playing baseball in the video.
I can't believe I'm starting to sing for Craig David just to give him hints.
Give me that,
I might
give
end
me
up on the next.
I like
might
that.
Be on the next record. Yeah. So come on, if you want to go and take a
ride with me,
yes! Give it to me, Craig. Go on.
One for the money.
So Craig David, so Nelly, sorry. Well, Craig David, it could be. Ride With Me was at number four at the time. Trains, Drops of Jupiter was at five. Little Romeo, My Baby at three. Wow. Lifehouse at two. And then at number one, Christina Aguilera, Lil' Kim and Pink with Lady Marmalade. Marmalade.
So, big tune, yes. Big tune.
You was going to tell me a story. What was you going to say?
Do you know what it was? It was like, if you'd gone UK... Because I would have so like known what was going on and around like the UK from first ever number one, but what blew my mind because I keep going about Destiny's Child, but Destiny's Child had released Say My Name, and that was the song that was number two in the UK when Fill Me In went to number one, and it still to this day to have been anywhere near Destiny's Child, with the fact that I still had Destiny's Child posters on my wall like at home, to this, the thing that Fill Me In was anywhere near, it just was when I got the news they're like, oh, you're number one. And number two is Say My Name. I said, what? Say My Name? I didn't even worry about the number one. I was just like, well, Destiny's Child. I was so gassed. So it just, when you said about like number ones, I was just like, or just songs from the album. I just remember that so viscerally that I was just so gassed to be in the same chart as Destiny's Child over the fact that I had a number one. It was crazy.
And it was the next single, wasn't it? Jumpin' that was in at the same time as 7 Days. So it's just their domination at the time. And I remember how much they inspired like Mystique. And all the bands back then, like and the girl groups, like Mystique were fire. Like they were so good.
Remember Jamelia when she came out with her tunes, like really set the tone. With like, I'm just thinking about like female artists that just like were so empowered and just came through and set the tone. It was like yes, more of this.
I didn't think I'd be telling Craig David this story, but very quickly, Craig, Jamelia. Funny you mentioned that there because I say this all the time. For some reason, and I still don't know today why, my mum knew I was into music when Jamelia Superstar came out, but I was listening to all sorts of music right at that point. But Jamelia Superstar was the first CD I owned. And to this day, I don't know why mum bought it for me, but she did. And I've got that memory forever with that song. And it's amazing. And it is an amazing song.
Do you know what? I love that like we could go through all of the different artists and Jamelia pops up and that's like your first ever CD that you got. That's just, I love it. What a time. Come on.
Alongside the Now That's What I Call Music albums, obviously they were massive back then. But yeah, Craig, that was amazing. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. In Your Hands, incredible. Please, anytime you want to come and have a good chat about nostalgia or about the new tunes, you know where we are. We absolutely love you here. And please, if you do take Commitment on the road in the summer, you know Dreamland's got to be one of those dates. You know this.
I know this. I know this. You know this. We both know it. But thank you. You know what? Thank you so much, man. I love you guys. You're so wholesome over there.
Thank you, Craig. Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Love.